Well, we thank the Lord for his faithfulness to us, and we do want to say we appreciate the moms also, and there are many sacrifices that they make for husbands and for families. Trust the Lord will bless each one. I'd like this morning to look at some verses in Isaiah, the 55th chapter. And I'll start reading at verse 1. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." You know, I was thinking about the invitation that we have here. He starts out, "Ho," and looking up that word, it's kind of like O in our backwards, O-H. It had, in my Hebrew deal, it had O-H and an exclamation point behind it. O. It's like a take notice. And we recognize, probably have to be reminded from time to time that earthly things don't satisfy spiritual needs. It takes God to fulfill us and to work in our lives. But he said, you know, in verse 2, he mentions, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not?" You know, when we were reading in Sunday school this morning the works of the flesh, it just really, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, that whole long list, it pricked me because I realized that people are just seeking fulfillment. They're seeking satisfaction. They're seeking, and I got to thinking, you know, when most people, you know, when people grow up, they don't have the thought, I'm going to go out and ruin my life. I'm going to go out and destroy my life. I want to go out and make my life miserable. Most people don't have thoughts like that. They want to be happy. They want fulfillment. They want satisfaction. But temptation, the pleasures of this life and temptation, it becomes a stronghold in a person's life, and it begins to dominate, and they do things, we as people do things, most people, they don't really want to do those things, but there's a power over them and working in them. But here he mentions, and this is my burden this morning, is that we would seek God and recognize the blessing that God has for us in life. He said, incline your ear. Come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. What I get out of this verse is, you know, we look at David, he seemed to be such a hero, he seemed to be such a conqueror, he seemed to be so blessed, you know, in the sight of God. But here he's saying, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Just like God blessed David, and David, we know, had his failures, but he humbled his heart, and God restored him. But God wants to bless, he wants to have a covenant with us, he wants to have those sure mercies of David reigning in our heart, in our life also. But it comes through seeking God and inclining our heart, our ears to Him, and looking after Him and finding Him. I want to get another verse here. He said, for as the rain, in verse 10, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. So the word of God that goes forth out of the mouth of God, it's like the rain. It causes things to bloom. It causes things to happen. It responds. There's a response there. There's a reaction there. I want to get another verse, Isaiah, the 41st chapter. Isaiah 41, verse 17. It says, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree, and I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together. He said, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth, I, the Lord, will hear them. You know, the poor and needy are those that recognize that they have a need, that there's something missing. They come to the realization that I need something here. And it says, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open up rivers in high places. I thought also of the scripture where Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The Lord has a way of filling and meeting the needs of our life. He has a way of meeting the needs of our heart, our spirit. But it's very important for us to look to Him and not the things of this world. Not the things of this life. In Psalms, the 27th chapter, I want to read verse 4. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me, He shall set me upon a rock. Now, what I get out of these verses is that the Lord is able to meet the need. It's not saying there's not going to be trouble. Jesus told us there was going to be trouble. He said, in the world you'll have tribulation, you'll have trouble, you'll have difficulty. But He said, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In other words, God can hide us. He can give us grace. He can hide us in the storm. He can, whatever way He chooses, He's able to meet the need that arises, the need that we have. God is able to help us through the storms and the troubles of life. But He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. And I believe what He's saying here, I believe there were probably other desires that He had, but I believe the thing this is bringing out is the main thing, that my main desire in life. I don't believe it doesn't say we don't have other desires or other things that we like or don't like, things of that nature, but He's saying the most important thing in my life, the one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. He put God first in his heart and his life. He sought God and he called upon God. He said that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to read a comment that Adam Clark made on some of these verses. And in verse 14 it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now Adam Clark here mentions, he said, wait, he said, be an expectant. For he that has promised to come will come and will not tarry. But he says, and this is what I like, it's, he said, but wait actively. Wait actively. Be not idle. use the means of grace, read, hear, pray, believe, and work. I really like that thought. He said, wait actively. Read, hear, pray, believe, work. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He will direct thy paths. For he that cometh to God... No, it said here, they that wait on the Lord shall never be confounded. You know, when we wait, we seek God, we wait upon Him, we look to Him, and I don't know how you all are, and you're probably like me somewhat. There's been times when I've struggled to know the will of God, the voice of God. You know, sometimes I feel like I've expected... I feel like I've been too dependent upon my emotions. And God works. We read a devotion this week, Lee and I did, and in the devotion it talks about, it said, God's path is in the waters. And anyway, I started thinking about that. His path are in it's in the seas, in the waters. And I, how can you trace that kind of path? You know, when they do investigations, they try to trace someone's steps. They try to find what direction they go on the path. How are you going to trace someone's path that's in the waters? There's no trace. You can't. You can't. We can't trace everything that God does. We don't see everything that He does. We don't know everything that He does. He's working, boy, a world this size, the troubles that are in this world, and His people scattered here and there all over this world. It seems like He's got a big job and a big responsibility, but He's able to do it. He's able to manage. He's able to hear our trouble and to know our trouble. And He said, when the poor and needy are thirsty for water, the Lord, I'll hear their cry. I'll hear their prayer. So Lord, help us today to seek God with all of our heart. And I want to encourage us to wait. I've been encouraged to wait until, keep seeking, keep waiting. The Lord will come. If we seek Him with all of our heart, if we're putting Him first in our life, we're doing the best that we know how to serve Him, He'll come. He'll be there. He'll answer prayer in time. I want to get another scripture in Daniel, the 10th chapter. Daniel, the 10th chapter. And the second verse. It said, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Daniel was seeking. He was needy. He was praying. He was setting aside earthly comforts, earthly gratifications, to seek God's help and God's understanding and God's favor. I want to drop down now to verse 12. Let's read verse 10. It says, "Behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. When he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words." Daniel was seeking God. He was praying to God. He was reaching out his heart to God. He had some perplexities about things that he didn't understand and he didn't comprehend, like all of us do at times in life. There's sometimes some perplexing situations, perplexing things that we don't maybe understand, but the heavenly visitor told him, "The first day I heard your prayer." But in verse 13 it says, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, 21 days, 3 weeks. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia." So, I don't have a clue what he's talking about here. I don't understand that part of the spiritual realm, but there was something that hindered this visitor coming to Daniel. He was there 21 days. Daniel was seeking God. He was aware that Daniel had been praying all that time. Daniel persevered in prayer. He kept praying. He kept fasting. He kept looking to God for an answer, for help, for a blessing. And I want to encourage all of us that way, to not let go so easy, not to give up so easy, not to maybe quit on a situation so easy. I know there's a temptations when things look difficult and perplexing. There's sometimes a temptation just to get it out of our minds. And I don't want us to be burdened down, but I want to encourage us today to lay hold on prayer, to seek God, to call upon Him, to believe in Him, not to wait idly, but to read, to pray, to believe, to work. And I believe God will help. God will reveal Himself some way, somehow. We may not, and I'm not telling us to expect what Daniel had here. He had a vision. God can give a vision today. He can give a dream. He can communicate. And Lord, help us to be open to whatever God sends. I was seeking God couple of weeks ago, earnestly entreating the Lord about different things, and I still am. But I was at my dad's house, and my dad spoke up and said something when I was just getting ready to leave. And I told Leah, I said, "You know, maybe that's, I know he's not saved, but the Lord used the donkey to speak to Balaam." And the Lord can use people. The Lord used my neighbor. I testified about that months and months ago. I was going on a walk and I saw my neighbor up ahead, and I didn't really want to stop and talk. He can be kind of long-winded. But he was right in my path. The Lord had him there. The Lord had him there. Right in my path. His house was a little further down the road. There was no reason for him to be there. His driveway was further down. He was just on the road, parked on the road, right in my path where I usually walk. And the same thing happened. He said some things in the course of our conversation that I knew it was the Lord. I knew it was God. It was something I needed to hear. But the source, you know, was like a donkey. it was coming from an unpredictable source. You know, the Lord wants to hear prayer. He wants to answer. He wants to show us the way. He wants to reveal. Sometimes it doesn't come all at once. Sometimes we need to set our heart. He said here, from the first day, thou didst set thine heart. He set his heart to seek after God, to hear from God. And I believe that's important for us to do. I want to get another verse, 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. First Kings, the 18th chapter. This is when the children of Israel were in a standstill, perplexity, trouble. Verse 17, it said, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Wow. What an accusation. Are you the one that's troubling Israel? He was blaming Elijah for Israel's trouble. Verse 18 said, "He answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. They didn't know what to say. They knew what was happening. Then said Elijah unto the people, "I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose ye one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. They took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal, from morning even until noon, saying, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass as noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. They cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. He said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is the God, the Lord, He is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. You know, this kind of stood out to me. It said he repaired the altar of the Lord. The altar of the Lord is a place of sacrifice. And I believe, as we seek God, I believe it's important for us to give ourselves to God, prepare that altar, prepare our hearts, give ourselves unto God, to let God have His way in our hearts and in our lives. You know, we can get away from the altar of the Lord if we're not careful. Just the days of life, the routines of life, the things of life can kind of creep in and keep us from giving ourselves unto God in sacrifice and devotion to Him, giving our wills to Him, but Elijah prepared the altar of the Lord. And Elijah was so confident because he knew the Lord. He knew God. He experienced God. And he knew he was here at this time, at this place, because God had called him there. And he prepared the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And God heard Elijah's prayer, and he answered prayer for him. I want to go on down now in verse 41. It says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." Now, I'm not for sure what he heard. Because if it was a wind, I'm not. But he said there's a sound of rain, and yet he hadn't seen anything. Because you go on down and read, it says, "So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. You know, 7 is a number of completion, right? So we want to continue to look to God. Said, "And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea." Now he told Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of rain." And he says, "It came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." You know, I would have thought after 3.5 years of no rain that they just probably would have went out there and soaked it all in. But they were on top of Mount Carmel. I realized that it probably would have been pretty treacherous coming down the side of a mountain when it's pouring down rain. It would have been difficult. I realized that. And it says, "And it came to pass," he said, "Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." I want to conclude with that thought, that there is a blessing when we seek God with all of our hearts and we look to Him and wait upon Him and trust in Him. There's a blessing. He said, "As the rain that comes down from heaven and waters the earth, the Lord can send something our way." Sometimes it comes in different forms. But He'll send something our way to help us to be able to continue on, to be what He's calling us to be. There's a blessing in seeking God and waiting upon Him with all of our heart, looking to Him. You know, He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, we had one time a young lady that lived with us in our home. She was in Adina's grade at high school, and she was in trouble, and her home life wasn't too good, and I don't know, she stayed with us for a little bit. But we were having an evening devotion one time, and then afterwards, I got to visit with her a little bit after our devotion, and I kind of questioned her a little bit, and she said, I tried that, and it didn't work for me. Which was real sad to hear. But I know sometimes people, they'll put forth maybe a little bit of effort casually, but they don't really put their heart and their soul into it. And God's hands, it really ties God's hands in what He's wanting to do in our hearts and our lives. It hinders prayer. But when we repair the altar of the Lord and we're giving ourselves to God wholeheartedly on the altar of sacrifice, the Lord will hear. He'll answer one way or another. I'm confident. I believe the Bible is true. And I know the Lord has done that for me in my life many different times. It wasn't on my time scale. It wasn't in my frame of reference. It wasn't always what I thought it should have been. But I know the Lord has answered prayer for me many, many times when I have sought Him with all of my heart. So I just want to encourage us with that today. You know, He didn't just go look one time and forget it. And maybe the servant got going tired of going back, felt like a yo-yo. But finally there was a little cloud that appeared. And boy, did it grow. The Lord has a way of working above and beyond. We can't always figure out where it's going to be and what it's going to do. There was one more scripture. We don't have to turn there, but it was in Hosea 10:12. It said, let's see, it's time to seek the Lord. I'll read it real quick. Hosea 10:12, it says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. And what I understand about fallow is that it's just ground that's been allowed to set. And it actually, nature compacts the ground, the rains come, the winds blow. It's a hard ground, but it's a ground that's just been allowed to sit. It says, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. You believe that this morning? That the Lord can rain righteousness upon us? I believe He can. He said in verse 13, He said, you have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way. You know, and I believe in humanity, that's our normal, that's what we as humans do normally. We tend to trust in our way. What looks good to us, what appears good to us. But it says, time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. The Lord is able to rain righteousness in our hearts, in our lives. And I'm thankful this morning for that. I believe there's a blessing when we set our face and our heart to seek God and to get a hold of the Lord. There's a blessing there for us. Pray for me.